Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, y'all. The Celtics remain one of the hottest teams in the league, it turns out, and the Kings might be right there with them. And we'll be checking in with the state of all things in Orlando with Orlando Sentinel beat writer Kobe Price on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray with...
I'm Jabari Davis.
Oh, look at that. We got a guest host. And this is Miles and Jabari got mad. Thank you.
Nailed it.
So much. Jack is out just having a little break for the Thanksgiving, so he'll be back next week. Worry not. So it will just be Miles and Jabari today. But we are thrilled to be joined by, like I said, Orlando Sentinel beat writer Kobe Price. Kobe, thank you so much for coming on the show. That's what I meant to say before I got tongue tied.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure. Appreciate y'all for having me on. I can tell it's gonna be fun. I like the energy, I like the vibe already early
oh,
on.
Oh yeah, we're a mess.
We haven't seen anything yet.
You haven't seen anything else yet. This is the least serious basketball podcast you've ever heard or been a part of. Okay, so I know you write for the Orlando Sentinel. You're covering the Magic. Are the Magic your team? Who's your team? Who'd you grow up with?
I grew up a Bulls fan. I grew up in Chicago, Chicagoland area. So like the Bulls, you know, throughout my childhood were my team. Specifically like those baby Bulls, like Lou Alden, Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Chris Duhon. Kind of transfer that over to D. Rose, Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
All those guys. Like those were my Bulls team.
My bad. I officially just turned into that gif of Matt Damon from Saving Private Ryan where ages. Like, I just became the oldest person ever because he said his childhood, and I was definitely in my late 20s during that era. Like, so here we are.
I was outside, but okay. And how are you feeling about him now? How are you looking? You still catch up with? Are you one of these journalists that we have all the time? Was like, I mean, look, I'm professional. Like, I obviously love the Bulls, but I'm not getting too emotionally caught up in it. Do you still get caught up, swept up in it like a fan?
No, I'm still one of those journalists who's like, yeah, I still follow. Oh, it's just different. Like, honestly, when you're in this like this job, you just don't you don't see like the team you may have grown up watching like that. Like, you don't see them as much unless you cover them. Like,
right.
Like. I'm like, honestly, like the Magic just played the Bulls. That would have been on Friday. And I can count on they're 7-10. So that's 17 games. I can count on one hand, like how many entire Bulls games I've watched this season. And that's counting the one I just watched. Yeah. And I was physically at one.
Right.
So, and once that happens, like you kind of like emotionally distance yourself from the situation just because, you know, it's like your priorities change.
Is part of it because you're a professional at that point, rather than like a hostile fan like I am with a podcast? Like, I'd imagine, right? One part is you're professional because obviously you're not going to have your like Bulls fandom bleed into your coverage of like the Magic. But also, I'm sure being around
like once the veil is lifted and you're actually up in it every day, it probably does take on a completely different texture, huh?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And honestly, yeah, so both those things, but also like the more I'm in it, just become more like fan of the game, like period.
Yeah.
Just like you, like I appreciate broader, bigger like basketball than probably I did as a fan of the Bulls growing up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so everything you're hitting, yes, correct.
Yes.
But there's also like a greater, deeper appreciation for the actual sport, even outside of like fandom. Like you become more, at least for me, I become more of a fan of the sport or the game than the actual like actual team.
I wanna get zen like y'all.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's like a. I mean,
I can't. I think
like,
I'm just
it's like peace.
Yeah. It seems far healthier. It's a far healthier, you know, standpoint.
Yeah, you don't want to cry holding a grown man's jersey in your hands.
You know? Not from the press box, no.
or the crypto.com parking lot, because they asked you to leave in the second quarter. But anyway.
Look, and here's another way I put it. My fandom is in my checks. So as long as my checks cash, then I'm...
There it is.
That's when I start crying. That's when I start crying in the parking lot. And exactly. Then they usually go from there.
There you go. The best ability, availability.
Yes, sir.
Who said, booked and blessed. But yeah, I mean, Kobe, we got to talk about the Magic, man. Got a really nice team over there. I got to admit, I was telling Jabari earlier, you know, small market team. I've like in the shadows, I feel like have just been getting better and better, but like without the attention of everybody. And man, my man Franz Wagner over here, we were just talking about Michigan basketball shorts. Shout out those uniforms. Like he's improving every single year in a way that I think is really underrated.
Yeah, no, Franz is really. So I think some of his rookie season last year was when underrated or just maybe overlooked. If you asked people, and I guess he made the first team all rookie. So I think at least among media, he was respected for what he did. But I think if you ask like most people, most fans publicly, you ask for the five best rookies from last season.
Yeah.
I don't know how many would have chosen Franz as in the top five. And honestly, like even if you give me your top five players from the 2021 class, Franz's class, I do wonder how many people would list Franz in the top three. Because at least to me, I mean, if you look based off of last year and this season, like there's a great argument that he has been at the worst the third best player in that draft class. And that is a class that includes Jalen Green, Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, Kate Cunningham. The list goes on. I mean, what he's doing as a driver is sensational. The passing is there. The defense is there. I asked for Carla about him, and he said, like, this is a two-way wing that you just don't, you know, they don't grow on trees, man. Like, players like this are not easy to find. So,
right.
Franz, to me, and I've said this on other podcasts, other platforms, all-star potential easily.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because that's actually where I was going to go with it. You know, to Miles's point, you guys have a ton of young talent there. Obviously, with Ben Carroll, who we'll come to here shortly. Jalen Suggs. You know, Franz. Franz are already at a point where he's averaging over 19 points. He's getting you 4.5, and just about 4.5. You know, that's not far from All Star level. Do you think that do you think that he has that potential, like over the next couple seasons, while developing alongside those big guys?
100%. I mean, you look at his season long numbers: 19, 4, and 4. He's shooting, almost 50% from the field. The three ball's coming along. Like, he's a good shooter. He just didn't start off the season well. Yeah. But if you just want to look at November, like, once, got the five really just poor shooting games, you happens to every player or get the seven shooting games. Like, it's what, 22, 4.5, and 4, shooting over 50% from the field, 41% on threes. Like, this is... Like I said, and you—that's just the offense. Like you added the defensive ability, the switchability. Like it's not something you should take for granted. So he definitely has to me all-star potential, a guy who's going to be a cornerstone for the Magic, and what they're building, with the next level alongside Paolo and alongside the other guys that they have on the team. But all-star to me, if you don't see all-star potential with Franz, I don't know if you watch enough of him, because he's just been that good, and it's not just. It's the driving, it's the cutting, when he's able to get off the ball. He's shown a lot.
Yeah, and he's creating for himself, too. Yeah, it's like one of those things, too. It's like, I mean, he was drafted, what, was the 8th pick? So, he's going to be good. And it's like one of those things. It is wild how, even, like, reflexively, I wouldn't immediately look to him. But in, like, just you know, watching more and more of this season, and then, you know, after doing a little bit of research to prepare to like really talk about the Magic, I'm like, wow, I was fully asleep, you know, to like what he was really doing. But yeah, it is wild to watch that all come together, because I think, yeah, it's always nice to see those talents develop. Speaking of talents, Paolo, Mr. Banchero, yeah. You know, right now he's got a little bit of an injury. How long has he been out? Almost 2 weeks?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, what's that been like for you? Because we watch highlights over here, and we're like, whoa, okay, he looks very confident. He looks very confident in his abilities, very secure, and has a good sense of self already as a rookie. What is that? I mean, what's it like up close on the daily basis? You're there. What like, are we missing something? Or is it that good?
No, it's that good. I don't know if you're missing anything. I mean, whether you see it from afar, whether you see it from up close, it's pretty obvious. The kid's got it.
Right.
It hit me honestly like a summer league. It's not just the scoring. It's not just the passing. It's just the way he does it. You're just kind of like, whoa, wait, how old are you again? Yeah. You sure you're a rookie? Like, you're playing like a 25-year-old, 5-year NBA vet. It's just the maturity about his game, the fluidity in which he moves. You're just kind of like, you're this good already?
Yeah.
Like, you can get better? So it's super. I knew he was, there was an assistant coach from Duke told me that when you see him in person, he's going to be bigger than you think. I'm like, come on now, man. Like, I didn't say this to him, but I'm like, come on, man. Like, he's listed at 6'9", 6'10". Like, I don't know if you, 250. Like, I know he's going to be big. But when I saw him in person, I was like, all right.
Yeah, grown man.
I see pure grown man at whatever. He just turned 20. But at 20 years old, and the size, the strength, the fluidity, the touch, the ability to just get to the line over and over again, like put reps in that position, the passing, you're just like, this is a cornerstone. This is everything that, you know, you kind of want to build like an offensive fulcrum around, an offensive hub. Like, he has the skills there already. So now it's just about building upon those skills. And if you have a tandem like Franz and Paolo and build out from there, you can mess up so much around that, but you have those two, you're going to get somewhere good.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, once like Franz gets those 3-point numbers up, I saw him getting nice with the step back recently. I was like, oh, right. This all comes together. Yeah, it will be trouble.
Guys, we haven't even talked about one of the more exciting stories from this season, at least from the outside looking in. What about Bol Bol?
Bol Bol.
Okay, so there were some, and you know, I'm sure that, you know, Kobe being tapped in with the Orlando fan base, there were some that were, I don't want to say questioning, they were absolutely full-on, wholeheartedly poo-pooing that signing. And if I'm not mistaken, you broke that news, you know, this past summer. But over his last 5 games, he's at 18 points, 11.5 rebounds, you know, just under 2 blocks. He's shooting the ball 55% from the field, 44% from deep, and 82% from the free throw line. Can you talk about his development and just what type of player they have there?
Yeah, honestly, when you ask me that, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Because this just seems like, you know, he's a guy who you knew he was super talented. You know, he was one of the top, one of the top players, I think, in the 2018 high school recruiting class. And, you know, 7'2" guy who has that handle, who has, you know, to score like that. Like, you see that immediately. But it seems like, I just wrote about this, every few games, he's starting to show off a little bit more. Like, the first few games, there's a lot of offensive rebounding, you know, being in the right position to, you know, putbacks or, you know, jump off passes, all these little like simple things that you just be like, dude, you're 7'2". You can do all this like in your sleep. Now, like, especially I would say the past 5, 6, 7 games, like, we're seeing some pull ups, we're seeing some step backs. You know, even through all of this, we've seen the coast to coast Euro steps and just finishes. Like, he had a dunk the other night against the Pacers where he like moved around a guy and just like extended his arms out and dunked. I'm like, wait, how do you do that? How are your arms at the basket already when the guy's like fully, like not fully, but like partially still in front of you? Yeah. So you can tell like some things are like coming along for him. He hasn't played a lot of like before this season, he had not played a lot of basketball. Didn't play a lot in Denver. Injuries, you know, this is the most consistent basketball he's played since high school. So you can see, which is a crazy thing to say out loud, but you can kind of see the game coming to him, you know, day in and day out, you know, not just from a scoring perspective, but understanding like, all right, I need to make a pass here. I don't need to like, it doesn't have to be full you know, full force to score. So you can kind of see it, you know, after what's that, 4 or 5 years of not consistently playing basketball, things starting to, you know, be put together for him.
Yeah. It's nice to see him improving constantly. I know some, like a lot of Magic fans, like, man, this is most improved right here. But I mean, there's some competition there. But I do, like I said, I'm not going to get in that man's way. I love watching Bol Bol play. Like, I didn't really actually consider how little he's played in that sense. Yeah. And then to come out like this, yeah, it's something.
Yeah, no, I spoke with him in the locker room about this maybe before one of the Indiana games. I forget which one. And like, we were just chatting up. I was like, yeah, this is the most consistent basketball you've probably played in a few years. And he's like, now realize he only played 9 games at Oregon. And, you know, before in Orlando, I think he only played like 53 games from 2019 to 2022.
Wow.
So like, yeah, every single, like the first 4 games he played of the season, like the first time he played like 10 minutes a night in a row in 4 consecutive games, which is like a low benchmark. But then you think about like, wait a second. You haven't played at least 10 minutes in a game 4 consecutive times. Like, right. There's so much more that you need, yeah, like so many more benchmarks you need to clear. So he's kind of just scratching the surface on what he can be, which is almost like terrifying.
Yeah.
Because, like, where's, you said, he's ceiling? Already doing.
Yeah. Where some, is this? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm doing some insane stuff.
When you're that tall, the ceiling must be higher than you. So that's, I think that's good news.
I like that. The ceiling must be higher than 7'2" with a 7'8" wingspan. Yeah,
exactly. At a bare minimum. And that's, that's a big room for sure. I mean, quickly, the Celtics also been doing quite well. You know, as people know, my allegiances lie on the West Coast with a storied basketball franchise. But man, they look real, real good. I cannot deny it. I mean, it's Jabari, what are these stats we're looking at here?
Well, what's interesting to me, and I'm intrigued to get Kobe's opinion about it, because, you know, last year they were incredible defensively. This year they're just 23rd overall in terms of, you know, team defensive efficiency, you know, and they're middle of the pack when it comes to rebounding, but they're doing it really on the other end of the court. You know, they're right. second overall in team effective field goal percentage. You know, they've got a great assist to turnover ratio. They're second overall in the league in that. They shoot the 3 ball well, and they basically just take care of the ball. What are your thoughts about the job that Coach Joe Mazzulla has been doing?
Yeah, I think he's done as good of a job as, you know, as you would hope for, considering all the circumstances that he had coming into the season.
Sure.
You know, kind of taking on this job, what 2 weeks before maybe the season started, I want to say, yeah, maybe even less. I know it was in September. Yeah. But yeah, just to be able to, you see, you know, the roster was never really a question, I think. You know, obviously, you know, they've been without Time Lord through the start of the season, but, you know, you saw the talent, you know, especially after, you know, they pick up a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. Mm-hmm. Like, the talent is there, so you just wonder, like, how is he going to be able to, like, keep these guys together, you know, keep the locker room buying after the really strange offseason they had, especially more so in the August, September part of it when you go through, you know, which you went through with Danilo Gallinari getting injured. And obviously the whole Ime Udoka situation, mm-hmm, and then Mazzulla, like, he's handled it as well as he can. And I'm, you know, I think some of it, there's been maybe a tad bit of slippage, but I think a lot of the defensive issues will be fixed once they get, you know, Rob Williams back, just because he is just that kind of level of defensive player. But I've been super impressed by what they've done. Super impressed by the Celtics. And, you know, before the season, I had them as a team where I thought, you know, if things break right, they should be in that upper tier, right, of Eastern Conference contenders, or just contenders period throughout the league. And everything I've seen so far has, you know, backed that up.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess from another team that, you know, the Lakers have a bit of history with, got to talk about another team the Lakers have history, the Sacramento Kings, because my goodness, they look really good in a way that, like, I can't even. Front. I'm like, whoa. It's been 20 years. We were talking about this before, Jabari. It's hard to really see, like, the gaps in here because they look deep. They got shooters. I love to see that. And Herder is also, man, I heard Kevin Durant bigging up Herder, and he's like, man, if you're not watching the way this man is shooting the ball right now, he's like, you're not really a fan. And, like, you need to appreciate what he's doing right now. I immediately got online. I was like, okay, you know what? KD told me I'm asleep on something. I need to watch. And yeah, he's right. they look like some. And De'Aaron Fox too is also. It's a lot of sweat, beads of sweat that are created upon my forehead when I look at how they're playing.
And to that point, Kobe, is this, in your opinion, is this a matter of like they were terrible for a lot of years? And believe me, Kings fans, I'm not piling on. I'm just being honest. And they kept on stockpiling talent and finally found the right mix with the right head coach.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I mean, you know, Herter's been shooting lights out. I think it kind of starts with Fox. Like he's been, he's coming off a player of the week. He's been sensational. Like I just got to see him. He's the guy I got to see up close when, you know, he hit that buzzer beater over the Magic. And he was, you know, just in certain parts of the game, he was just clinical. Like complete control of what he was trying, when he wanted to do, what he was trying to do. So to me, it kind of starts with him. You know, Sabonis has been effective. It's, you know, Mike Brown, he's, you know, what he's doing is working. You know, there's this pace that they're scored that they've been scoring at is ridiculous. But I think they have number one offense. Yeah, yep. I was say, I think they just overtook the Celtics for the top offense in the league, which, I mean, you can see the talent, but the fact that, you know, they've put it all together in this way is, like, credit. Like, that's a kudos to Mike Brown, his staff, and just also, like I said, Fox, Sabonis, Herter, you know, Monk. Down the line, just the it's not just one guy. It's kind of
you could just read the whole roster, basically.
It's like 100%. Six different guys. You just kind of like, well, they're performing. You know, I didn't even say Murray, who I think some people before the season thought, you know, if it wasn't going to be Paolo, I think some people would have had Murray as a rookie of the year contender. So they're a fun team. They're just a fun team too. Like it's not just they've been good. They've been super fun to watch.
Yeah.
Of the teams, like, you know, like say the Kings or like, you know, the surprise teams, you know, out there, whether it's Portland or, you know, Utah.
Yeah.
Are all of them real or do you expect, you know, any of them to, you know, kind of separate themselves from, you know, from the pack?
I'm trying to think of like, so Portland, Utah, Indiana.
Good point on Indiana. We didn't even mention them. They're 6-2 over their last eight. They're like one of the, you know, hottest teams in the league as well.
Yeah, 6-2. 8-2 over their last 10, and then 10-6 on the season. I'm trying to think. I think, you know, with Utah, I don't know if they're going to end up being the number one seed for when the season's all said and done. But my thing with Utah before the season was like it was clear that there was a lot of talent there. And I think this is the case with most of the teams we're talking about. It was clear that they had talent. You just didn't think that the teams themselves would stick together this long. Like, I feel this way about Indiana, too. Like, I didn't think Utah was going to keep all these guys around, you know, what, 20 games into the season. I didn't think Turner and Hield would still be on, you know, in Indiana, what, 16 games to the season. You know, maybe Sacramento, you look at them just because you thought, all right, yeah, this team's going to be there. But, like, a lot of the surprise teams, or I guess a couple of the surprise teams, more so in Utah and Indiana, it's just been like, we thought these situations were going to be different, but the fact that they're not, I guess Utah, you look at them, it's like, all right, number one in the West, what's really going on over there, Brian Windhorst. But yeah, I mean, I don't have no reason to believe that what Indiana's doing or what, I guess Portland slipped a little bit, but you know, Dame's out now, like,
yeah,
I believe that they're real. So I think of all the teams who have played, I think Utah's probably the most likely to slip down. Just because the West is so volatile, and you still think, you know, you still feel like something's going to shape over there, even with the hot start they've had.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back to talk about some outstanding performances from the last week. We'll be right back.
The 82 game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so is Ben Simmons? I just want to say it like that. I just want to give it the space, you know, because the man has had a lot of pressure on him. But it would be remiss of me to not point out that he does seem to be on an upward trajectory again. I know it seemed a little like iffy here and there, and we were laughing like sort of early on in the season, but now it does feel like the mind-body connection is returning, right?
For me, watching him of late, what I appreciate is he's getting downhill again. It was one thing that, you know, to not really shoot all that much. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care if he never shoots a three-pointer, you know, like at any point in his career. But it was a whole other thing when it looked as though he was afraid to get downhill. He was avoiding contact and things of that nature. He looks far more natural or as close to natural as I've seen him, what, in 3 years?
Honestly, I think some of us, we forget, like, he not forget, but we overlook the fact that, no, he has not played basketball and you know, he missed the entire season. Not that he missed the entire season, but he walked into a completely different situation, you know, after that. So I think some of it is the mind-body connection, but also, you know, figuring out new teammates and figuring out, like, you know, new guys to play around. Yes, it seems so easy to be like, oh, yeah, just throw him next to KD and throw him next to Kyrie and all these guys and all these shooters. It'll work out. But when you get into a new team and a new system, and then you have all the, this is called a mess that Brooklyn has brought since July 2019, and just Ben happens to go into it, it takes a minute to find your rhythm, especially when you're dealing with stuff like back and, you know, those kind of injuries or those kind of ailments. So he is, you know, trending upward, and I think there's plenty of reason to believe it'll continue.
Yeah, I mean, he said, quote, my mind is telling me, go be you. But then my body's trying to catch up, so it feels like I'm just progressing each day, each game, just building up. I'm still trying to get a rhythm, find my pace. Sounds like he has a good attitude, too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like so many times athletes will put themselves in, like, absurd pressure situations that, like, you can't climb out of. And it seems like he's at least giving himself the environment to do that. But, yeah. I know Jack was very, very excited to see him. He was like, wow. Like, he was, I remember when he saw that, he was like, he didn't shy away from the contact.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's
progress.
Brings a tear to your eye. Brings a tear to your eye. Yeah, he went 22-8-5 over that win against the Grizzlies. Klay Thompson is another one. And Last week, we were a little bit like, yo, what is going on with Klay Thompson? But then it's like he's heard the podcast because I know he listens. And he said, oh, you think I just like boats now, wearing captain's hats and looking off into the sunset. Wrong. 41 points, 10 for 13 from three. Wow. Okay. I was telling you, Jabari, I said, well, I was wrong. And I was like, that's egg on my face. And you said, well, let's allow some consistency to build, which is true, which is true. But it was wild to watch that performance against the Rockets where it truly was like, oh, it's doing that thing where it's not hitting any part of the rim anymore.
Yeah, that was vintage Klay. And I'm not sure if you were able to catch that one, Kobe. I'm sure you saw at least the highlights of it. It was the first time this season where he looked like Klay Thompson. And I'll admit it. I'll acknowledge it 100%. Last week, I was in the background saying, yeah, he needs to come off the bench. They need to stop playing games with this stuff. why are they ruining the situation with Jordan Poole? And I'll still stand by. I think that probably is ultimately their best option, moving forward. But, I can't poo-poo that. That was absolutely incredible.
I wasn't able to watch the entire game, but I was able to see highlights, and it did just look like, I hate to say it because, he's not old, but like the old Klay that we're kind of, the Klay that we, that we're accustomed to. And even against the game against, I think the Knicks before that game, or 2 days before, I think he actually had a good game against the Knicks too. And for him, again, similar to the Ben Simmons situation, but even I guess even more dramatic, he missed two seasons. And he admitted he didn't play pickup this all season just because of I guess you would call it maybe anxieties that come with, or the worries that come with, maybe re-injuring himself. So I think it's more than just the actual physical stuff. Sometimes it's truly is the mental stuff that, it takes a while to get have these breakthroughs where you just feel comfortable. And I think for him having more of those moments like we saw against the Rockets will help him mentally just to feel comfortable back on the floor. Because once a guy's comfortable, then that's when you start seeing, games like that, or, he starts playing with a little bit more consistency. But I just don't think we've seen a comfortable Klay Thompson. What we've seen a lot is a Klay Thompson that's pressing, and that's not the Klay that you want to see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the performance was definitely I got my back to the wall, and I kind of did remember what I'm capable of, and definitely he reconnected with that. I was, there was one shot in that game where I feel like he almost pump faked, and then he realized no one was on him. He was just like, I'll just shoot it from here. barely any, he didn't get the full motion into it. And I was like, oh, you just threw that in. okay.
When you're that nice, and you've been doing it that long.
And quickly, I do want to shout out my son, Kyle Kuzma, turning into a Kuzman over at Washington. I love to see a young man. I see you posting stuff about, man, these Lakers were, yeah, they were, Kyle. They were. Mm-hmm. I miss you, baby. But yeah, man, 28-10-5 against the Hornets, and man, there he is. He's part of their success. He's part of the formula.
Can I just say it? I think he's their best player. I recognize Bradley Beal is, obviously, he's the big name there. Porzingis is there, top to bottom, both sides of the court, interchangeability, the capability to guard, some big twos, but definitely threes and some fours. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually their best player.
As a Blazian, I would say I might have a different opinion on who the best player is on the Washington Wizards, but
no disrespect,
the stats don't lie in this case. So I will agree. It's my son, Kyle Kuzman. It's wonderful to see. And I know there's so much hand wringing over on the Lakers side about him. Man, what happened? Look at him. But
what could have been?
Yeah. And while we're on the subject of Lakers fans, Jabari, you're also a Laker fan, from what I can gather.
That I am.
Both from the 818, faithfully. Anthony Davis, we were saying last week too, if he is able to come into his own and really just, find that next level mentally and just be consistent with his performances and that same intensity, we will begin to see some progress. And it looks like we are doing that with the LeBron-less Lakers and nothing but AD Lakers.
I'm interested in getting Kobe's opinion on this, but I think, and believe me, I'm not making excuses for him, for whatever his reasons were, but it almost feels like you're on a team with LeBron. You come up watching LeBron and appreciating his game. Whether he's the greatest or one of the greats, he's still in that level. You're on the team with him, and he's still performing at an incredible level. I wonder if it really was a matter of, yeah, they can, you know, they can say, you know, AD's the guy, you know, they can say, yeah, we want to run things through him. But do you think it was a matter of him like getting over that mental block? And maybe mental block isn't the right term, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, right. Just getting past it mentally.
I think for him, part of it is just recognizing that in order for the Lakers to, like, this is a part of the quote unquote plan from the beginning. In order for the Lakers to continue to be, or I guess get back to being like a true contender, there had to be some kind of passing of the torch from LeBron to AD. Like, AD, I may be, forget who the best player is. Like, LeBron on, you know, if we're talking about top end, like, on the absolute best day, who's the best player? It still may be him. But LeBron's 38 years old, right? Like, he can't be the best player every single night for the Lakers. That's not what you want from a 38-year-old. AD, you are 29. You're in the prime of your career. Night to night, you need to be the guy. I can still be, like, LeBron can still be the guy in the moments or in certain moments. But AD, you are the lone star on this team who is in the prime, their prime age. You need to be that guy day to day. And you, if you're a Lakers fan, like you, Jabbar, you can at least hope that this is the start of the, or continuation of the process of AD accepting, like, forget who the best player is, night to night, I'm the guy. And then everything else kind of falls down for me. And that's going to be, you know, that's a process, because LeBron, for what? Since maybe like those early Heat days, has been the guy.
Yeah.
And you do wonder what it's going to look like once LeBron comes back and how the offense runs. But at least for now, like, this is an important process of AD getting back to being the guy like he was when, you know, he was in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword to have a player like LeBron James, like, on your team, you know, because on one hand, he can inspire a lot of the players around you because they're like, man, I got to get it together. I'm playing with LeBron. And then on the other, there is like a psychological sort of shadow that you're just in inherently because you're on the same team with him. And I don't think it's, not to say that LeBron is the reason, like, him not playing is the reason the Lakers are doing better, but I think that it's allowing these players to have an identity that isn't exclusively tied to him, and they're stepping into that. I mean, like, Austin Reeves, he is really, like, he's also, he just looks more comfortable. And, like, we saw flashes of, like, what he's capable of, but it feels like a lot of, like, I don't know, there's a little bit of breathing room, and there are certain players that are now feel that they're, like, I guess, more comfortable stepping up. And yes, I needed that because we were in a bit of a hole there.
I mean, they're still 5-10, and to that point,
I know, but look, Jabbari, look.
It was bad.
Like, three wins on the bounce, you're like, please, something. Because, you know, we were talking about how bad it could have got, really could have been. And it luckily wasn't as bad, but yeah, it's still, again, like I said, I'm trying to be very level headed here, and I will acknowledge progress when I see it. And I don't need to be like toxic and be like, man, this whole thing's trash, blow it up, man. We're trying to get 18.
Although, at one point, you know, but I'm interested, you know, look, we know how we feel about it. Let's get it, you know, the outside opinion, of someone that, you know, knows a thing or two about this, about this league.
Completely ill. Emotionally, from having to look at it like we do.
Kobe, no pressure, you know, no pressure whatsoever, but no. What do you think the ultimate answer is for the Lakers? Is it a matter of, like, just try to get healthy and stay healthy and see how it goes? Or do you think they ultimately do make a move?
I think for them, just get healthy, see where you go from there. I don't, you know, even with they have made progress. Now, I do want to also add in the context that some of this progress has come. You only play who you can play, right?
Yeah, no, I go.
Schedule's ahead of you.
Wow. Can't even let me have that. Wow. But it's true. It's facts. Okay, go on.
You did beat a Brooklyn team that's also like trying to figure themselves out as well. Detroit, who I think last time I checked, they were at the bottom of the East, maybe one of the bottom teams in the, they were either one or two for the worst in the league. And I know they're at the bottom of the East. And San Antonio, who have taken, like, they after their hot start, they were a team that you had me on like 2 weeks earlier, I've been like, yeah, they're not passing my smell test in terms of, like, this is real. And I think they've shown that. But even with that, you look at this team and I ask myself, like, what's the ultimate, like, even if you can make, like, this big move, I don't know if they can make that move. And if without, like, a big move, I don't know how they can get to what they were expected to be. But I think this is a year just to, like, I don't think you really have the opportunity to, like, mortgage a bunch of your future in terms of this. Like, I think you kind of just play it out with the guys that you have and just hope the guys you have turn around. Like, you still have a team with Anthony Davis and whatever LeBron will be once he comes back. Like, that is at least a team that should be competitive on a night-in, night-out basis.
Six-man of the year, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah, and six-man of the year. Yeah. Now, they put themselves into a 2-10 hole. So,
yeah.
Like, that's just so hard to overcome no matter
what. Of course.
You know, from here, you just want to say, all right, let's see how we can compete. And we kind of just have to roll from there.
I mean, we went from being like, oh, my God, what is happening? To, like, at least being like, oh, right, yeah, Anthony Davis. Yeah, I remember him.
We went from, like, during the games, texting each other, like, hey, maybe, to not texting each other at all, to all of a sudden, Anthony Davis? They've pulled us back.
No, there's always promise on the horizon, I'd say. Also, got to shout out Bones Highland scoring 29 off the bench.
No Jokic.
He's like, I'm trying to figure out who he reminds me of.
You know, I'm gonna say, like, a name.
Yeah,
you can clown me if you want.
Go ahead.
A lankier Nick Van Exel. He's herky jerky in the same type of way. Got the flash. Yeah. He gets out. You can put the ball on the floor. You'll do some things out there.
It's maybe the not exactly and the jerky. You're right. That's what it was.
That quick little bounce in the.
Yeah. Although, like, it's like he was playing like in a Kirkland signature Ja Morant costume. You know,
you had to call him the great value Ja.
It's just a look. It has nothing to do with his game. You know what I mean? But that's my comedic assessment of what I saw from 1,000 feet away on my TV screen. Okay, no shots at Bones. I think he's fantastic. And also, we got just really quickly too. All these Wembanyama clips. Man. I'm tired of this guy. Tired of him.
You better pack a lunch.
I saw this. What? Oh, this broke my brain. Yeah, that makes no sense.
He picked up his dribble like
like 13 feet out.
Man, his stride.
Finger rolls it.
I know. Honestly, the way he plays, we always use this comparison of, like, when you're the uncle playing against your nephew. We're like, you're just bigger, and you're like, yeah, you're going to be in my way. But, like, watch me get this bucket. Like, and also, like, you'll try to block me, but I'll just put it up higher on the glass in a place you can't get to. And I feel like you're some,
It's that with a dunk ball court.
It's playing against
little kids on an 8-foot rim.
I'm like, okay, guess what? They might as well put your faces on milk cartons because y'all gonna go missing after this performance I'll put in. But it is, I mean, like, there is something about just his, like, I don't know. Every time I look at it, I'm like, is it that he's a man among boys? Is it that he's a mutant among humans? What is it? It's just that he's that big with all those skills, right? There's nothing else I'm missing.
I was going to, you know, defer to Kobe, but for me, it's as simple as he's not a big man that, you know, has handles for a big man. No, he has guard
handles. Yeah,
he has absolute guard skills at 7-foot whatever. And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of times with, like, guys like this, we think, oh, yeah, these guys are so skilled for big men. No, like, Victor would be, if he was, like, 6'7", 6'8", he would still be, like, ridiculous. The fact that he's 7'4", is just kind of like, oh, you're just cheating now.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't feel like you don't need this. You just happen to have it.
Right.
Like, a lot of, like, these other unicorns, like, them being, whatever, 7-foot, whatever. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, you kind of need this to, like, help your other skills because, this is weird. Like, oh, yeah, this is this dude with the 6'7 skill set. He just has to be 7'4". He picked up his dribble, like, a little bit behind the 3-point arc. And he starts to make his move, like, to the basket. And it's so fluid. Like, he moves so fluidly. Like, it's not stiff. It's very...
It's graceful.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. He has grace for being a 7-plus footer.
Look, they called AD a unicorn, and he is. They called Porzingis a unicorn. That's fine. You can call those guys unicorns. This guy's a dragon.
Yeah.
That's what. Sure. If those guys are unicorns, this is a dragon coming.
Yeah.
With handles.
It's a new thing. Like I say, he's your 2K creative player with maxed out stats.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. Yeah, make him 7'5". Yeah. All make him dribbling 99. Yeah. Make it, like, sure. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this, but. It is fun to watch. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and close this episode out with the rapid fire round of questioning. I hope you're ready, Kobe, because this goes lightning quick. We'll be right back.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And guess what, Kobe Price of the Orlando Sentinel?
What up?
You've wandered in to the rapid fire round of questioning. This is the most high-paced question segment in all of sports history. Yeah, I said it. Prove me wrong. Show me the receipts, because I cannot find any. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question. You just give us an answer. Just quick, like I'm chest-passing. You chest-pass right back. Don't think about it. Just give me the answer, and do not take a long time, because we have to keep the record in mind that this goes lightning quick. And
keep us on pace.
Please keep us on pace. Jabari, thank you so much for joining me. Because you are the guest, I will allow you to ask the first question. No debate.
Are you sure?
Yes, Jabari, of course. Come on, man.
This is all you. You going to get that clock started?
Yeah. Well, actually, let me look. Maybe I want to go first. Actually, when I think about it. I didn't start the clock yet, so this part can be slow.
I mean, you can go. Like it's totally fine. But, you know, I respect it.
Let me
your name is on the market.
Hold on, let me go get a cup of water real quick.
Kobe, look, this is what we're talking about here. This is what we need you to keep us in line for.
Yeah, sorry. No. Jabari, you're gonna go first. Start the clock.
All right, Kobe, let's go. You can pick any three dunkers from history for a contest, but you also get to pick any defender from history that gets to go up and challenge each dunk.
Oh.
Give me your dunkers and give me your defender.
Clarification, in-game or just straight up, just like this is a dunk contest?
It's a contest.
Contest, so, just attack the rim.
Okay, my dunkers are MJ, Vince Carter, and Zach LaVine.
Wow.
Wow. Who are they dunking on? Or who are they trying to dunk on?
Who are they trying to dunk on?
They are trying to dunk on Mutombo.
Ooh, okay.
Mutombo, Rudy Gobert, and Patrick Ewing.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, so we got some Georgetown flair and, you know, the pride of France. Okay, I'm not mad at that. Miles, would you have it? Anybody else?
No, I mean, as long as Vince Carter was said, that's all I was. I'm like, I'll buy a ticket to that show. Doesn't matter who anybody else is. Like, as long as Vince Carter's there, yes, please, please.
All right, man, I'll be an old head.
So good.
I'll be an old head.
Hey, man, Kobe, what do we say about this, man? You got to keep us going. Next question. You have the chance to win $10,000 to make a layup with each hand, $25,000 to make at least 4 or 5 free throws, or $100,000 to make at least 3 of 5 from deep. Which challenge are you taking?
Free throws.
Oh, no, really? No mic and drill? No, was it easy money?
No. I'm going for the free throws.
Are you nice with it at the line?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's free throws, man. Like, they're free.
Wow.
Okay. I've heard a lot of people say that before.
You just gotta be like, look, you didn't say 5 for 5. You said 4 or 5, right?
4 or 5.
4 out of 5.
Yeah. So I missed the first one, and now I get in rhythm. So like,
wow. Hey, FanDuel, can y'all give us 25 stacks to make this happen? I want to see this happen.
I get a cushion. Like, if you said 5 for 5, I'd be like, yeah, now let me get my mic and drill on. But okay, if I get the cushion of 1, then like, I'm going for it. It's, if I miss, all right, babe, at least I went for something.
Could you do 5 out of 6?
I'm
see, that's
later.
Where it gets the
yeah, that's,
wow.
the,
yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. You're not feeling like Mark Price anymore, are you? Okay.
I'm going layups on that one. Ooh, yeah, okay. that fifth one's like, ooh.
Had him. Well, again, the question was about the 4 out of 5, so I don't mean to switch it up on you like that. Take the 4 for 5 challenge for $25,000. Yes. If you do not make it, you owe us $25,000. I believe we agreed on that. FanDuel, please put up the money. Okay. I'm sorry. Who's going next?
It's on me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kobe. You can travel back in time and attend any debut from any player in history. Which are you choosing?
Michael Jordan.
Okay. Just that simple. Just Mike. Doesn't matter.
No. Just Michael Jordan. I want to see what it looked like in person when he's out here making layups. He was in the air for like 10 seconds at a time.
Now, Kobe Price from the Orlando Sentinel, tell me, what is it about Michael Jordan?
I mean,
you know, that makes sense.
Kobe,
makes
wait, you... hold on, wait. We're not supposed to be elaborating.
I'm sorry.
It's your responsibility to keep us on task right here.
Next
question.
Okay, next question. Thank you. I mean, look, I'll ask the questions here, and I will right now. Kobe Price, what is a new rule you'd like to see implemented or altered effective immediately in the NBA?
In the NBA, I think they do this in the G League. It's the free throw rule. I'm forgetting how to describe it right now. But they've done it in the G League for a while. And it's not just the take foul. I think they do something else with the free throw and how they do it.
Wait, it says, under the new experimental NBA G League rule, 1 free throw worth 1, 2, or 3 points will be awarded in the event of any foul that would typically result in 1, 2, or 3 free throws being shot under standard NBA rules.
Interesting.
Yes, I want to see. Yeah. I think it's supposed to that's it. Perfect. I'm glad you found it. It's supposed to like help to speed the game up. I just want to see it. I just want to see a try. Yeah. It's super gimmicky, I know, but I just want to see it.
It is.
Yeah.
That's okay. This is your rule.
I'd be perfectly fine if they did it like 1 year and they're like, all right, we're taking it out. I'm like, all right, I just want to see it.
Just getting rid of it.
Right. I'm all here for just trying things out.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Why don't you try this next question now, Kobe?
All right, let's go.
Okay. Sorry. I wasn't ready for that energy.
Dead Pam. Like, why don't you try this out, young man?
All right, Kobe. You know, it's this time of year. As a matter of fact, this episode will be released on Thanksgiving. What are your top 3 Thanksgiving dishes?
Dressing, any sweet potato dish.
With or without marshmallows?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You got to have it with marshmallows, Jamar? Oh, ham.
Ham, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. No mac and cheese.
Okay.
Damn, no mac and cheese.
Three. You said you know three.
What? All right.
Oh, yeah. I know, but that's what makes it a tough choice.
Oh, wow. Okay, so your children are...
Yeah, dang it. I slipped on mac and cheese. You know what? This is rapid fire. I'm living with the mistake.
Go ahead. No. You can revise your answer because this will be recorded for all of history. So you might as well get right with that.
Yeah, no, mac and cheese, any sweet potato dish, and ham.
Wow.
All right. Okay,
dressing got dropped.
Oh, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Somebody had to make the cut.
Yeah.
I think I would pick gravy as one.
Just the gravy boat?
Like, you can't. Yo, I used to get in trouble, man. My grandmother yelled at me because I was flooding that dish with gravy. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you out your mind? I'm like, I don't know. It's turkey dry. What do you want me to do?
Hey, I mean, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. And that kicked off the second phase of my Thanksgiving. Man, rest in peace to my grandparents. I miss y'all every day. And finally, got to ask you, Kobe Price, what's a better name, Jack or Miles?
Miles.
All right. We heard it there. Kobe Price from the Orlando Sentinel has done it. He is a fantastic man with a plan, and please follow his coverage on the Orlando Sentinel, where he follows the Orlando Magic. Kobe Price, thank you so much again for having us, man. Where can people follow you on the internet and read you and all that good stuff? Where can they find you?
Yeah, as long as Twitter is working, you can find me at Kobe underscore Price, K-H-O-B-I underscore P-R-I-C-E on Twitter. Hit me up there, OrlandoSentinel.com. Go to Orlando Magic page to find all my work. Even got a little, you know, got my little profile on there. See my picture, see my mug, have fun with it.
Yeah.
That's what Alexa. As long as Twitter's working, you can find me on there. Not hard to find. My name's pretty unique, so.
Yeah.
Kobe Price.
Okay, perfect. What about you, Jabari? Thanks again, man, for hopping on today, man. Where do the people find you? To learn more about you. I don't mean to do the most long-winded segue, but I have to. That's the only thing I know how to do.
That's okay. It's almost like I've never done this before, so I'm just stepping all over you the entire time. That's okay, though. Thank you for this opportunity. You know, Jack, it's been an honor, even though I still couldn't get your name chosen at the end.
We tried.
I'm easy. Jabari Davis, NBA, like Kobe said, as long as Twitter's around.
All right. And you can find us at Mad Boosties, B-O-O-S-T-I-E-S. Did I spell that right? Yes, I did. And shout out to this week's Boosties Listener of the Week. At Hoop Realist, we were asking people, what games do you want to travel back in time to experience? And Hoop Realist said, I already had the list just locked and loaded. Jordan 63 versus Celtics in the playoffs. Kobe's 81. 2001 game one for AI's classic. Okay, the flu game. And triple OT Pistons versus Nuggets game that ended in 186-184 in December of 83. That's a pull.
Yes. Like, first of all, I don't think he's old enough to even have seen that game. So,
wow. That makes me. I'm sure you saw that, Jabari. You've probably seen it because you've seen it.
Come on, man. I was three. Stop this.
I know, but you do finals file. Like, you're always, you have some, you look at the historical record. You have access to the archive.
I've seen clips. I've seen clips of it, but yeah.
Is that one of the highest scoring games? Like, what?
It has to be. It has to be. Especially combined.
Love to see it. You'll love to see it. All right. Well, you already know where to find us. Make sure you check back with us next week because we will be back with more Mad Boostiness. And enjoy your holiday and all that. And don't eat too much. Rest up. All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Peace. Appreciate y'all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.